And thanks for joining me this evening. I'm Aaron Hay. You're listening to Mizzou Music on Classical 90.5 FM. This week on Mizzou Music, we are continuing our look at the resident composers for this year's Mizzou International Composers Festival. This week, I'm joined by phone by Charles Halka. Charles, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about how you got your start in music, what got you interested, and what got you into composition in particular?
So that's a good question. I'm afraid my answer is probably going to be similar to a lot of composers out there, but I got started as a pianist, had dreams of being a concert pianist, and during my piano studies in undergrad, I started taking composition lessons. I'd always, improvised, and I had written, small things for. I was in some bands in high school, and so nothing, very formal until those last couple of years of my undergrad. And so then I kind of made the transition to becoming a composer.
Very cool. And so then, did you get start writing a lot of works for solo piano?
I think the first thing that I wrote down, from, with a double bar line was probably, I think, some songs for voice and piano. Then there was a piano trio and also some solo piano pieces. So, yeah, they all involved piano in some way.
Very cool. And when did you decide that that this was it for you, this was going to be your career and that music was what you wanted to do?
Probably, that's a good question, because I've never thought about that.
Hmm.
I don't think there's one particular moment. I think it's always been the question is this still the right decision for me? It's always self doubt that I think every composer has.
I think everybody, regardless of profession, goes through imposter syndrome once they get
imposter syndrome.
But I certainly
felt that I wanted to create music. I mean, write my own music rather than interpret other people's music.
Right. Very good.
So that was, I think, the turning point.
Cool. Very cool. Do you still write for a lot of piano? I know your bio stated that you worked a lot with electronic music and things of that nature. Is that something that we're going to hear when you are here in July? Is there an electronic component to the piece you're doing for Alarm Will Sound?
There is, and I would also add that I don't do a lot of electronic music. My desire is to do a lot of electronic music. I've done a few pieces already, but whenever I come across an opportunity such as this one, it's usually for acoustic ensembles, and so I end up writing. That's what I just end up writing most of. So I'm trying to do more electronic music. The one for Alarm Will Sound, it was a really kind of a tight timeline for me, at least as far as putting together an electronic element to the piece, so this is all acoustic for me.
Very good. Well, then, I guess while we're on the subject, tell me a little bit about the piece that that you'll be bringing then.
Oh, good. So the title is called Fever Dream, and I might be regurgitating some of the program notes that I wrote for it, but I actually, when I found out that I'd be writing this piece for Alarm Will Sound, I got sick with it was kind of the confluence of three different strains of cold.
Oh.
But I was sick for about 2 or 3 weeks, and for a week or 2 weeks, I had a fever off and on. So I had a lot of nights sleeping with a fever, and actually did have lots of fever dreams this piece did not emerge from one of those dreams, but a lot of the kind of feelings that I felt when I was having these dreams of disorientation, there are certain kind of textures, feeling of being weighted down in a tar-like substance. Those ideas made it into the piece, and especially that idea of kind of disorientation and moving from one idea to another, and kind of a swirl of, interrelatedness. The other thing that played a big role in the composition of this piece was the fact that I knew I'd be writing for the ensemble, for Alarm Will Sound, and I knew how good they are, and so I wrote things that were probably a little bit more difficult than I would normally write for an ensemble of this size, things that fit together a little bit more tightly, I wrote at a much faster tempo than I probably would have written for just an ensemble that I wouldn't know. who the members were.
Mm-hmm.
So that had a big effect on my ideas for the pieces. I wanted to write something relatively virtuosic.
Right. Especially, knowing your arrangement going in, that makes a lot of sense. So then are you working on any other pieces right now, other than the one for Alarm Will Sound that you'll be bringing here in July?
Right now I'm working on, I'm kind of in the pre-compositional stages of writing a piece for flute, clarinet, and percussion, which was it's for a Barlow General Commission. I've been working for a long time, for about 10 years, with an ensemble in Mexico called Onyx Ensemble. And they're a Pierrot ensemble, but I've written things for a subset of the group. Subsets of the group have performed and recorded other works of mine. But I've been trying to figure out a way to write this particular piece for them for a while, and so this commission will allow me to do that. Right now it's in the earliest stages. I'm doing my research on works for flute and clarinet and percussion. But I'm really excited to write this latest piece and what is kind of a really big personal relationship, a musical relationship that I've had for a long time, and I'm really, really proud of and really excited about.
That sounds great. And where will that be performed?
Well, that the premiere location and date is up in the air, but I'm teaching at the Western Washington University.
Mm-hmm.
There's a possibility it'll be premiered here. If they don't perform it before that, I'll be finishing the piece in the fall, and so they'll have the music and it'll be ready to go before then. But if Onyx is visiting here, they'll be visiting in the spring most likely.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Very cool. So in your bio, you list your inspirations often to be like language or visual imagery, human experience, and things of that nature. Tell me how that kind of affects your process and the actual like construction of a piece.
Yeah, those things I listed are kind of vague on purpose because I feel like a lot of what inspires my I guess the process to get the process going, it's different for every single piece. I think probably a lot of composers would say that. As far as movement goes, those are pieces for dance. As far as language goes, usually that's I'm setting text. What else did I mention? Human emotion. All these things I think are pretty flexible. But as far as my process, I love starting with, if not inspiration, then limitations. So I'm setting myself some kind of boundary, some kind of limitation, guidelines that will help me write the piece. I very seldom begin with measure one, saying, okay, I'm going to see what comes to me. I usually have a very specific set of ideas in mind. I tend to write very economically in terms of the materials that I use.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I think the eventual piece might sound like it's full of a lot of different things, but at its core, it usually has some very small set of materials that I'm building on. But yeah, that small set of materials is usually inspired either by, it could be by the title of the piece, which for this piece for Alarm Will Sound, Fever Dream was the title first, and I very seldom come up with the titles first, which is a terrible process at the end to not have a title for a piece that you've already finished.
Mm-hmm.
So I like having a title if I can. So in this case, the title was the starting point. And of course, I mentioned those feelings I wanted to evoke in the piece. And other times, some of the dance collaborations I've done, I've had the choreographer do some of the choreography first before I let them hear any of the music, or before I've written any of the music, and that process was one that I really liked and hope to do again sometime. Everything just depends on the particular piece, how I proceed. But usually I have, like I said, that small collection of materials. I usually map out the entire piece from start to finish before I start deciding on harmonies, rhythms, melodies, any of that.
Cool. And you did some studying overseas as well in Russia and Lithuania. Does that have an effect on your composition style? Are you particularly inspired by the Russian forms, anything along those natures?
Yeah, well, you know, when I was studying in Russia, I was still studying as a pianist there. But I did listen to a lot of opera because, you know, I went to, it was at the St. Petersburg Conservatory, and it's right across the street from the Mariinsky Theater. And so as a student there, I got to go to a lot of cheap performances I got to see the entire Ring Cycle. I got to see, there's a Rautavaara opera on Rasputin that I saw. So I think that may have had an impact, but I think what had more of an impact was my time in Lithuania, which was much more recent, and when I was working there as a composer. My grandfather's Lithuanian, and he passed away in 2004, but we recorded him singing Lithuanian songs. So when I was living there, part of what I was doing was finding out what the songs were, because he actually wasn't that great of a singer, but he loved singing. It's kind of, kind of the Charles Ives version, which matters that he sings.
Mm-hmm.
But I was discovering what the songs were, where they came from. But I also listened to a lot of Lithuanian folk music. Their ethnomusicology department at the Lithuanian Academy of Music and Theater, it's a lot more practice based than this kind of anthropological research basis that's for most ethnomusicology departments, in most of the world, I would say.
Mm.
So a lot of what they do is it's kind of preservation through performance. And one of the unique folk song types there is called the sutartine, which is kind of sung like like row, row, row your boat, mm-hmm. except instead of what we would consider consonants, like thirds and fifths, the primary intervals formed are seconds. So what minor seconds and major seconds, so much more dissonant. So the reason why I bring it up is just to say that it had an effect on my view of consonance versus dissonance. Because when I went there, I was very much still writing in a much more tonal style, I would say. And so kind of hearing this music saturated in dissonance, I think had a big impact on my harmonic development.
Very cool. Well, we really look forward to having you here in Colombia, and really look forward to seeing how that affects the pieces that you'll be bringing here. And Alarm Will Sound will be performing on the 27th here at the Missouri Theater in Colombia. Charles, thanks.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah. Charles, thanks so much for taking some time out of your day to speak with us, and we really look forward to meeting you.
Thank you.